6. I jumped, O my brothers, and I fell on the sidewalk hard, but I did not snuff it, oh no. If I had snuffed it, I would not be here to write what I written have. It seems that the jump was not from a big enough height to kill, but I cracked my back and my wrists and nogas and felt very bolshy pain before I passed out, brothers, with astonished and surprised litzos of Cheloveks in the street looking at me from above. And just before I passed out, I vid it clear that not one Chelovek in the whole horrid world was for me, and that the music through the wall had all been like arranged by those who were supposed to be like my new droogs, and that it was some vesh like this that they wanted for their horrible, selfish and boastful politics. All that was in like a million millionth part of one minuta before I threw over the world and the sky and the litzos of the staring Cheloveks that were above me. Where I was when I came back to Jizni, after a long black, black gap of it might have been a million years, was a hospital, all white, and with this von of hospitals you get, all like sour and smug and clean. These antiseptic veshes you get in hospitals should have a real horror show von of like frying onions or of flowers. I came very slow back to knowing who I was, and I was all bound up in white and could not feel anything in my plot, pain nor sensation nor any vesh at all. All round my Gulliver was a bandage, and there were bits of stuff like stuck to my litzo, and my rookers were all in bandages, and like bits of stick were like fixed to my fingers, like on it might be flowers to make them grow straight, and my poor old nogas were all straightened out too, and it was all bandages and wire cages, and into my right rooker near the plecho was red, red crovy dripping from a jar upside down. But I could not feel anything, oh my brothers. There was a nurse sitting by my bed, and she was reading some book that was all like very dim print, and you could vidy it was a story because of a lot of inverted commas, and she was like breathing hard over it, so it must have been a story about the old in-out, in-out. She was a real horror show devotchka, this nurse, with a very red rot and like long lashes over her glasses, and under her light, very stiff uniform, you could vidy she had very horror show grudies. So I said to her, "What gives, oh my little sister? Come now and have a nice lay down with your malenki droog in this bed." But the slovos didn't come out horror show at all, it being as though my rot was all stiffened up. And I could feel with my yarzik that some of my zubies were no longer there. But this nurse, like, jumped and dropped her book on the floor and said, "Oh, you've recovered consciousness." That was like a big rot fall for a malenki petitza like her, and I tried to say so, but the slovos came out only like, She itted off and left me on my oddy knocky, and I could vidy now that I was in a malenki room of my own. Not in one of these long wards like I had been in as a very little malchick, full of coughing, dying, starry vex all round to make you want to get well and fit again. It had been like diphtheria I had had then, oh my brothers. It was like now as though I could not hold to being conscious all that long because I was like asleep again, almost right away, very scorry, but in a minuta or two, I was sure that this nurse petitza had come back and had brought Cheloveks in white coats with her, and they were vidying me, very frowning, and going, at your humble narrator. And with them, I was sure there was the old Charles from the Stadger, govereating, "Oh, my son, my son." Breathing a like very stale von of whiskey onto me, and then saying, "But I would not stay. Oh no, I could not in no wise subscribe to what those brachnies are going to do to other poor prestupniks. So I got out, and I am preaching sermons now about it all, my little beloved son in JC." I woke up again later on, and who should I vidy there round the bed but the three from whose flat I had jumped out, namely D.B. de Silva and something something Rubenstein and Z. Dolin. "Friend," one of these vex was saying, but I could not vidy or slushy horror show which one. "Friend, little friend," this Goloss was saying, "the people are on fire with indignation. You have killed these horrible, boastful villains' chances of re-election. They will go and will go for ever and ever. You have served liberty well." I tried to say, "If I had died, it would have been even better for you political brechnies, would it not, pretending and treacherous droogs that you are?" But all that came out was, Then one of these three seemed to hold out a lot of bits cut from gazetters, and what I could vidy was a horrible picture of me, all crovy, on a stretcher being carried off, and I seemed to like remember a kind of a popping of light, which must have been photographer vex. Out of one glass, I could read like headlines, which were sort of trembling in the rooker of the Chelovic that held them, like "Boy Victim of Criminal Reform Scheme" and "Government as Murderer." And then there was like a picture of a vet that looked familiar to me, and it said, "Out, out, out," and that would be the Minister of the Inferior or Interior. Then the nurse Petitza said, "You shouldn't be exciting him like that. You shouldn't be doing anything that will make him upset. Now, come on, let's have you out." I tried to say, "Out, out, out," but it was again. Anyway, these three political vex went. And I went, too, only back to the land, back to all blackness, lit up by like odd dreams, which I didn't know whether they were dreams or not, oh my brothers. Like, for instance, I had this idea of my whole plot or body being like emptied of, as it might be, dirty water, and then filled up again with clean, and then there were really lovely and horror show dreams of being driven in some vex auto that had been crasted by me and driving up and down the world all on my oddy knocky, running ludies down and hearing them creech they were dying and in me no pain and no sickness. And also there were dreams of doing the old in-out with devotchkas, forcing them like down on the ground and making them have it and everybody standing round, clapping their rookers and cheering like Bazoomni. And then I woke up again, and it was my P and M come to vidy their ill son, my M boo-hooing real horror show. I could gover eat a lot better now, and well, 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 what gives? What makes you think you are like welcome? My papa said, in a, like, ashamed way, "You were in the papers, son. It said they'd done great wrong to you. It said how the government drove you to try and do yourself in. And it was our fault, too, in a way, son. Your home's your home when all's said and done, son." And my mum kept on going boo-hoo-hoo and looking ugly as kiss my sharries. So I said, "And how beeth thy new son, Joe? Well and healthy and prosperous, I trust and pray?" My mum said, "Oh, Alex, Alex, oh." My papa said, "A very awkward thing, son. He got into a bit of trouble with the police and was done by the police." "Really?" I said, "really? Such a good sort of Chelovec and all. Amazed proper I am. Honest." "Minding his own business, he was," said my P, "and the police told him to move on. Waiting at a corner, he was, son, to see a girl he was going to meet, and they told him to move on, and he said he had rights like everybody else, and then they sort of fell on top of him and hit him about, cruel." "Terrible," I said, "really terrible. And where is the poor boy now?"
"Oh,"
boo-hooed my mum,
"gone back home."
"Yes," said Dad, "he's gone back to his own hometown to get better. They've had to give his job here to somebody else."
"So now," I said, "you're willing for me to move back in again and things be like they were before?"
"Yes, son," said my papa, "please, son."
"I'll consider it," I said. "I'll think about it real careful."
"Ow," went my mum.
"Oh, shut it," I said, or I'll give you something proper to yowl and creech about. Kick your zoobies in, I will.
And, oh, my brothers, saying that made me feel a malenky bit better, as if all like fresh red crovy was flowing all through my plot. That was something I had to think about. It was like as though to get better, I had had to get worse.
That's no way to speak to your mother, son, said my papa. After all, she brought you into the world.
Yes, I said, and a right grasny vonny world too. I shut my glazies tight in like pain and said, go away now. I'll think about coming back, but things will have to be very different.
Yes, son, said my P, anything you say.
You'll have to make up your mind, I said, who's to be boss.
Ow,
my mum went on.
Very good, son, said my papa. Things will be as you like, only get well.
When they had gone, I laid and thought a bit about different veshes, like all different pictures passing through my gulliver. And when the nurse Petitza came back in and like straightened the sheets on the bed, I said to her, how long is it I've been in here?
A week or so, she said.
And what have they been doing to me?
Well, she said, you were all broken up and bruised and had sustained severe concussion and had lost a lot of blood. They've had to put all that right, haven't they?
But, I said, has anyone been doing anything with my gulliver? What I mean is, have they been playing around with inside, like, my brain?
Whatever they've done, she said, it'll all be for the best.
But a couple of days later, a couple of, like, doctor vex came in, both youngish vex with these, like, very slaggy smiles, and they had, like, a picture book with them. One of them said, we want you to have a look at these and to tell us what you think about them, all right? What giveth, O little droogies, I said, what new bazoomny idea dost thou in mind have? So they both, like, had an embarrassed smack at that, and then they sat down either side of the bed and open up this book. On the first page, there was like a photograph of a bird nest full of eggs. Yes, one of these Dr. Vex said. A bird nest, I said, full of like eggs. Very, very nice.
And what would you like to do about it? The other one said.
Oh, I said, smash them. Pick up the lot and like throw them against a wall or a cliff or something and then vidy them all smashed up. Real horror show.
Good. Good, they both said, and then the page was turned. It was like a picture of one of these bolshy great birds called peacocks with all its tails spread out in all colours in a very boastful way.
Yes, said one of these vex. I would like, I said, to pull out like all those feathers in its tail and slushy it creech blue murder for being so like boastful.
Good, they both said, good, good, good.
And they went on turning the pages. There were like pictures of real horror show devotchkas, and I said I would like to give them the old in-out with lots of ultraviolence. There were like pictures of Chelovex being given the boot straight in the litso and all red crovy everywhere, and I said I would like to be in on that. And there was a picture of the old Nadjoy Droog of the prison Charlies carrying his cross up a hill, and I said I would like to have the old hammer and nails. Good, good, good. I said, what is all this?
Deep hypnopedia,
or some such slovo, said one of these two vex.
You seem to be cured.
Cured? I said. Me tied down to this bed like this, and you say cured? Kiss my sherries is what I say.
Wait, said the other one. It won't be long now.
So I waited, and oh, my brothers, I got a lot better, munching away at eggy wegs and lomticks of toast and peating bolshy great mugs of milky chai. And then one day they said that I was going to have a very, very, very special visitor. Who? I said, while they straightened the bed and combed my luscious glory for me, me having the bandage off now from my gulliver and the hair growing again.
You'll see, they said.
And I vidded all right. At 2:30 of the afternoon, there were all like photographers and men from gazetters with notebooks and pencils and all that cow, and brothers, they near trumpeted a bolshy fanfare for this great and important vet who was coming to vidy your humble narrator, and in he came. and of course it was none other than the Minister of the Interior, or Inferior, dressed in the height of fashion and with this very upper-class ho-ho-ho-ho-ho galos. Flash, flash, bang, went the cameras when he put out his rooker to me to shake it. I said, "Well, well, 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 what giveth then, old droogie?" Nobody seemed to quite pony that, but somebody said in a light, harsh galos, "Be more respectful, boy," in addressing the minister.
"Yarbles," I said, like snarling like a doggy. "Bolshy great yarblockos to thee and thine."
"All right, all right," said the interior inferior one, very scorry. "He speaks to me as a friend, don't you, son?" "I'm everyone's friend," I said, "except to my enemies." "And who are your enemies?" said the minister, while all the Gazette of X went scribble, scribble, scribble. "Tell us that, my boy." "All who do me wrong," I said, "are my enemies." "Well," said the int imp min, sitting down by my bed, "I and the government of which I am a member want you to regard us as friends. Yes, friends. We have put you right, yes? You are getting the best of treatment. We never wished you harm, but there are some who did and do, and I think you know who those are." "All who do me wrong," I said, "are my enemies." "Yes, yes, yes," he said. "There are certain men who wanted to use you, yes, use you for political ends. They would have been glad, yes, glad for you to be dead, for they thought they could then blame it all on the government. I think you know who those men are."
"I did not," I said, "like the look of them."
"There is a man," said the imp min, "called F. Alexander, a writer of subversive literature, who has been howling for your blood. He has been mad with desire to stick a knife in you, but you're safe from him now. We put him away."
"He was supposed to be like a droogie," I said, "like a mother to me," was what he was.
"He found out that you had done wrong to him. At least," said the min, very, very scorry, "he believed you had done wrong. He formed this idea in his mind that you had been responsible for the death of someone near and dear to him."
"What you mean," I said, "is that he was told."
"He had this idea," said the min. "He was a menace. We put him away for his own protection, and also," he said, "for yours."
"Kind," I said, "most kind of thou."
"When you leave here," said the min, "you will have no worries. We shall see to everything, a good job on a good salary, because you are helping us."
"Am I?" I said.
"We always help our friends, don't we?"
And then he took my rooker, and some vet creeched, "Smile!" And I smiled like Bazoomney without thinking, and then flash, flash, crack, flash, bang, there were pictures being taken of me and the intimph min all droogy together. "Good boy," said this great Chelovec, "good, good boy. And now, see, a present." What was brought in now, brothers, was a big, shiny box, and I vidded clear what sort of a vesh it was. It was a stereo. It was put down next to the bed and opened up, and some vet plugged in its lead into the wall socket. "What shall it be?" asked a vet with otches on his nose. And then he had in his rooker's lovely, shiny sleeves full of music. "Mozart, Beethoven, Schoenberg, Karl Orff, the ninth," I said, "the glorious ninth." And the ninth it was, oh my brothers. Everybody began to leave nice and quiet, while I laid there with my glazies closed, slooshying the lovely music. The min said, "Good, good boy," patting me on the plecho. Then he itted off. Only one vet was left, saying, "Sign here, please." I opened my glazies up to sign, not knowing what I was signing, and not, oh my brothers, caring either. Then I was left alone with the glorious ninth of Ludwig van.
Oh, it was gorgiosity and yum, yum, yum. When it came to the scherzo, I could vidi myself very clear
running and running on light, very light and mysterious nogas, carving the whole litzo of the creaching world with my cutthroat Britva. And there was the slow movement and the lovely last singing movement still to come. I was cured all right.